Thank you for returning to the pod with your host, Andrew Peterson. This is going to be the review of episode 5 of Drag Race season 16. Now, I know I'm behind, and I planned on recording an episode this weekend, but I had a stressful day at work on Saturday, and sometimes when I have stressful days, I don't handle them the best. One thing I really should work on, but I do, is I'll just stay in bed and watch Hulu. And that's kind of what I did all weekend. I didn't do much, just kind of stayed in bed. So I apologize for not recording. You may get a bonus episode just so I can catch up. But we'll jump right into episode 5. So after Mirage's heartbreaking and emotional elimination, the whole crew or gang of girls is just completely emotional as well. Plasma did win, though, and we got to celebrate Plasma winning because she did amazing as Barbra Streisand. But it was a really kind of, I guess, sad kind of entrance or re-entrance, I guess you want to call it, to the workroom. Mirage left a message that says the trash bag has left, because if you remember, her entrance line was she called everybody trash. So it was an emotional thing to watch her leave, but she's an amazing queen, and I bet she's got more in store. So we had Plasma winning, so congrats to Plasma. And while they're kind of like sitting on the couch kikiing and Plasma's kind of like celebrating you win, you see Q start to kind of cry and get kind of emotional. And for those of you who have listened to the podcast, you know that I like Q. She's from Kansas City. She is an amazing designer. And I like the local girl. But there's this thing called you're like complaining. She gets emotional. She's like, I've been in the top. I've had to fight for where I've been. And she gets kind of emotional being in the top. Girl, you've got girls that are in the bottom that have not ever tasted the top. Girls like, I mean, she's been safe the whole season, so we can say Megami. She's never tasted the top. You've got girls like Tsunami, who's been safe, never tasted the top. So you being in the top three almost every episode, I mean, it's kind of hard to show sympathy. And I will admit, I do not like Plain Jane. When Plain Jane hears this, throws some underhanded comments, I don't like them. We all know that Plain Jane is the bitch of the season. So I don't like Plain Jane's comments, but at the same time, you kind of getting mad that you're always in the top and you haven't won. I mean, I guess you haven't really been down to the bottom, girl. Because I'll use an example. I'm on a kickball team, and we haven't won in 2 seasons. So we would love to win some games. Like, it's kind of the reason why we started a new kickball team. So, like, I'm right. Like, girl, I would love to be at the top a couple times. Like, I would love to taste victory. So, you know, and maybe this is a setup. Maybe a foreshadowing. So count your blessings that you are at the top three, girl. So, but I do not like Plain Jane's backhand comments. I don't know how I feel about Plain Jane being a bitch. Like, I said I wanted this. I said that I wanted a little bit more drama and a little bit of, like, this is not RuPaul's best friend race. But I don't know, that I'm a little tired of Plain Jane. I don't know. So we have, the next thing we have is the guest judges announced, which will be Icona Pop. Again, someone I'm not too familiar with. I swear that I will know one of these guest judges. I will know one. I believe in my gay air of knowing people that I will know one of these guest judges. It won't be this week. Maybe next week. Actually, I can already tell you, spoiler alert, that it's not going to be the next episode either. But we won't ruin who the guest judge is, for those of you who are following along. So, you have, after the guest judge is announced, you have RuPaul walks in and announces the mini challenge, which is kind of a showback to RuPaul is wrote his own book and his own memoir. So he asked the girls to get into Quick Drag and write their own book and like take like a cover photo and explain kind of like a little bio of the book. So it's like photo, title, and a bio. And you have all 12 girls doing this. 12. I always forget how many girls there are. But the first one up is Miss Plasma. And her book title is All That Plaid. And she is kind of like in this like, kind of like short skirt, kind of like business attire clothing, if I remember correctly. It's all right. It's definitely, okay. The next girl to grace the stage is Miss Megami, and her book was called Staten Island Trash to Improved Staten Island Trash. It's Megami, not Megami, which is an interesting title to say the least, but still just kind of bleh. And then you have the next girl to grace is A Mandatory Meeting, and her book being called Time for a Meeting. Now, Amanda's Quick Drag is actually pretty good, and you feel bad because a lot of her other drag has not been this good, but we'll digress into that. Next is Plain Jane, and you have Revenge of Cock Distinguish. This is one of the top for me. I loved how funny Plain Jane's title was. She even came up a name for herself, and I don't want to butcher it, so I just know that it started like with Miss Something Cox, and it was kind of funny. She was kind of just like poking fun. This is definitely one of the top in my opinion. So kudos to you, Plain Jane. The next one is Miss Maya, and she does the book title Angry Puss, and she wears like a Catwoman suit. And I think this is kind of like a cheap Quick Drag because you just put a Catwoman suit on. And she even wore the mask and everything. So she kind of like took the easy way out, in my opinion, but okay. Okay, the next one we have is Nymphia Wind, her title is Bananas Yellow Pages. Nymphia Wind, it was funny. She was like doing all these weird poses. Something fell out when she was like in Quick Drag. So it's funny, but at one point in time, I'm kind of going to get tired of all this banana references. Like, we get it, you're the banana queen. And it's going to get some tiresome. Also, how many times can you use yellow? She's used it a lot on the runway. She's the banana queen. Just how many times can you use yellow? Like, is yellow a really popular color? Can we keep using that color? I don't know. Am I overthinking this? I think I'm overthinking this. Okay. Our next one is Ms. Morphine, who is, her book title is The BBL Effect. It's full of ass photos and a scratch and sniff. Again, I'm getting kind of, me being an ass guy, should I be tired of Morphine talking about how her ass and like showing it off? Should I be tired of this? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Okay? I don't know. I guess we'll just go with it. The next one, I know I'm blowing through these kind of fast, so we may take a break kind of after I list this one, is Miss Safira Cristal, and her book is titled The Throat Goat. The biggest mouth. This is in the tri-state area. The biggest mouth in the tri-state area. This is definitely one of the funnier ones as well. A good top. She does a lot of different poses again, and it's just really funny. Keep Shrew laughing. To have a title of a book called The Throat Goat is kind of genius. So, definitely one of the top. So, we've got 4 more to go. So, we'll go ahead and take a break, and then we'll jump into the next 4. Stay tuned to The Pod with your host, Andrew Peterson. Welcome back to The Pod with your host, Andrew Peterson. We're going to get kind of into part 2 of RuPaul, episode 5. So, we left off at dawn, and Dawn's book is called Bubble Up, and one of her famous lines to describe the book is, if you like mental breakdowns and self-diagnosis. This was kind of funny. It was a funny line. I liked it. It was good. Decent. Kind of safe. The next one you have is Geneva Carr, and her title, Room Room. Again, kind of like the car reference. One thing that I thought that was funny by her was she said hairy legs and bad choices. Kind of a point back to, do you remember her when she introduced herself? She's was famous on TikTok for braiding her hairy legs. So it's kind of a point back to that. Again, just kind of like a safe look. A lot of these girls did safe things. And I guess you can't really expect much because it's like you have 30 minutes to come of all this. Like, I couldn't have done what they did in 30 minutes. I mean, if you look at how I'm making these episodes, they take an hour, and I also avoid doing them. So, what they're doing in 30 minutes is definitely something I couldn't have done. So, I guess being safe is better than being at the bottom. And granted, it doesn't get judged who's in the bottom and who's at the top. You just learn who wins. So, another one is Tsunami Muse. And you have her, which is how to rock a bun. And what's really funny when she says how to rock a bun, she's not even wearing a bun. It was kind of funny. And the book was called Memoirs of Muse, Walk in Her Shoes. Kind of clever title too. It's a little long though. If you're trying to sell a book with that long of a title, it might be a little hard. Especially when you put the word memoir in it. I don't know. That's always a hard word for me to say. Memoir. The last girl to grace the stage was Q. Her title was Why. And she's just crying. And every time when Rue asks a question, she just goes, Why? And it kind of reminds you of when she was like a brick. And they asked who threw you. And she was like, Why? Does it matter? I actually thought this was kind of funny, and I thought that, like, low-key Q was going to win. Like, I thought it was a lot better than some of the other ones. Now, I mean, I'm not mad that the winner is Safira, and the funny line, when Safira wins, they said it'll be the first book burn in Florida. So, I mean, I'm not mad about Safira winning. She had a great title. She was funny. So, there's nothing wrong with it. I just kind of thought there was a better one. Q. Okay. But after Rue announces who wins the mini challenge, we have the maxi challenge announced, which is the girls are divided into a girl group and they will write their own verses in 3 of Rue's songs on their Black Butter album. So, and they have to record their own choreograph. So, Rue chooses 3 captains. You have Safira, who won the mini challenge. You have Plasma, who won last week's episode. And then you have Miss Geneva Carr, who won the lip sync. And then there's 3 songs. You have Safira's group, who has Starboy. You have Plasma group has Courage to Love. And then you have Geneva's group that has ASMR. Okay, I'm done. And the groups start to pick their girls. Safira picks Dawn, Morphine, and Q. Plasma picks a mandatory meeting. I can read my own handwriting. No, I cannot. Nymph. Oh, God. Muse. So she picks a mandatory meeting and Tsunami. And she picks Plain Jane, which I don't know if you've been watching every episode, but Plain Jane and Amanda do not get along. So why would we put them on the same team? I don't understand. I mean, I guess we could say that Lucifer was an angel at one point in time. Do you want to use that reference? But I really do not understand putting them on the same team. But also, if you go by, like, who was left, Plain Jane is a strong contender. She hasn't been in the bottom. She's an amazing queen. So, I mean, you kind of want someone who's a strong contender on your team. And you definitely don't want to go against them, per se. So, I don't know how I feel about it. I didn't understand it, but I guess there's some good to it. And then you have Geneva's team, which is Geneva, Maya, Nymphia, and the person who wasn't picked, who was last, was Megami. And we're going to find out. Maybe that wasn't the smartest thing. But you also hear, once everybody's on their own team, you hear Morphine. He kind of talk about how this is the team of quiet girls. Like, Maya is kind of like this whisper queen. And Geneva has been at the bottom. And she's very quiet. You have Nymphia, whose English is not her first language. But she's kind of all over the place. And then you have Megami. So, she kind of throws it. This is kind of like the quiet team. And that the girls shouldn't be too worried. Maybe this is all foreshadowing. The show does amazing foreshadowing. I don't mean to like be a spoiler, but this show and the foreshadowing is fantastic. Anyway, so the next day the girls are kind of rehearsing their songs, kind of like writing their own rhymes, and Megami kind of expresses about being picked last and kind of has a moment. And for someone, I don't know if I've ever like experienced being picked last. I mean, I was very I still understand you're not fitting in, and that is, I think that would be heartbreaking to always be the last one picked. So it's understandable. And kind of, like, interesting is Megami helped write Nymphia's verse. Megami helped write Geneva's verse and her own. So, I mean, we have Megami is really strong in this episode, in my opinion. And we'll kind of get more into that. So, you also have a Nymphia who's, like, again, kind of acting funny, not focused, being crazy. She's talking about bananas again, and her rhymes are about banana, 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 banana. Like, again, when are we going to stop hearing about those bananas? I don't know. Am I tired of bananas? Are you tired of bananas? Callie, are you tired of bananas? You want to talk to the mic? Sorry, that was my dog. She's being a little annoying today. I think she's just being a husky. Okay, not to get off topic. But the next thing is, we're going to kind of move into the next step. Ow! See, I told you, Callie's being a husky. She kind of wants, you want to say hi to the camera? Say hi to the folks. Okay, she's not going to talk, I guess. So, to kind of jump into the next day, the girls are rehearsing choreo. And you have Plasma, who is one of the first girls to introduce her team, kind of their choreography, and she's moving so fast. Like, she's going like the speed of lightning. She's like telling them what to do, then she's doing one thing, then she's doing another thing. And you can see Tsunami kind of try to tell her to slow down, girl. Like, she's a mile a minute. And I mean, Plasma is a theater girl. Some theaters are just all over the place. But what's really cool, when you see Plasma rehearsing, you hear that a mandatory meeting was in, like, kinky boots, and she can dance. And she's really shining. And you can... She's actually even showing Plain Jane how to, like, do some moves. And it's really great to see Amanda shine and almost outshining Plain Jane. Like, this is good. This is good. Especially when Plain Jane's been picking the crap out of her. So, that was kind of like the good of Plasma's team, was Amanda was shining over Plain Jane. It was interesting. Okay, we'll go ahead and step into our second break, and then we'll talk about the next group that will be up for choreography. Stay tuned to the pod with your host, Andrew Peterson. Wanna sign out? I think she's camera shy. Alright, stay tuned. Welcome back to part three of their pod with your host, again, Andrew Peterson. So, next group to do the choreography is going to be Maya's group and Geneva's group. And Geneva, they nominate Maya to do the choreography. And Maya is very quiet. Kind of like this whisper voice. Like, whisper. Very quiet voice. Quiet. We gotta talk quiet. But the choreography is kind of, by Maya's standards, it's very simple. And Megami is kind of struggling. And then you start seeing Nymphia do well, and Nymphia is very, like, quiet with these talents. You hear that she, in the kind of, like, monologue, or whatever you want to call it, when they're, like, by themselves, the confessional, that's a better word, confessional, she admits that she was in a pop band, and, like, is a dancer and, like, knows and is very good at, like, choreography and all that. And it's like, Miss Nymphia is really hiding these talents. Like, you saw that when she was sewing, she was, like, in the workroom, kind of, like, kikiing and, you know, doing all this stuff. And then you find out she's an amazing sewer. That's why she won the design challenge. And so, again, we are finding out that Nymphia has hidden talents, girls. And with Megami struggling, though, again, you see in the confessionals, the girls kind of go like, this is the weak team. This team is going to be weak. You have Miss Maya, who's struggling, getting everybody in line. She just talks so low. Just you wait. Okay. But next thing is the final team to rehearse is Team Saphira. And they nominated Morphine to be the director. And you see, when Morphine is kind of directing the girls, you see Q is really struggling. She's moving like a, like, they said she's moving like Frankenstein, like a robot. And when I've seen Q lip sync in the first episode, like, she wasn't, like, a girl that, like, did the splits, did all this over-the-top stuff. So I really... And she even admits that dancing is not her strong suit. So this is kind of a really hard challenge for Q. And you can see that. So we have some feelings and things like that towards this. And with Q really struggling, it kind of pokes interesting. Because she's been in the top, and now she's struggling. But we won't get into that. So kind of after the girls rehearse their choreography, they go back into the workroom to do their makeup. And you have Q confronts Plain Jane. And she just goes, I am going to talk to Plain that I did not like that she kind of invalidated my feelings. And when she's doing this, she kind of mentions Amanda, but she does it very slightly. She just says, this is kind of like your thing with Amanda, and I don't want this. This is not you and Amanda thing. And Q goes, and Plain Jane says the most out-of-pocket thing. Like, I understand that Q brought up Amanda, but Plain Jane then says, I have more respect for you than I do Amanda. Like, This is so out of pocket. And I get that, yes, Q did mention Amanda's name. But Amanda was not in this conversation. Yes, Amanda was talked about. But it was like a brief thing to say, hey, I didn't like that you invalidated my feelings. I don't like that you're attacking me. And this is kind of what you do with Amanda. And Q's like, I'm not going to stand for it. And then for Plain Jane just to say, I have more respect for you than I do Amanda. Like, oh my God. I think it's literally. And then she like tries to backpedal when Amanda kind of like snaps at Plain. And she tries to backpedal and she's like, whoa, girl, whoa. You know, whoa. And sometimes a lot of Plain Jane's apologies are just apologies. She's not taking any atonement. She's just saying, I'm sorry you feel that way. But I won't take any atonement. Like, I mean, it's just not needed. I don't know how I feel about it. I do like, though, in the end, Saphira starts to, like, mother Plain Jane. And kind of, like, bring everything back to the core. So, I do like that. And then, cuts to the runway. And you have Rue, who looks amazing in this beautiful purple dress. And Rue announces the judges, which will be RuPaul, Michelle, T.S. Madison, and Icona Pop, the girl band, Icona Pop. Again, I do not know much about Icona Pop. You can judge me if you want. Yes, but I apologize for not knowing much of my gay culture. And this is now the 5th episode. Well, I do not know much about a guest judge. I swear there's going to be one episode where I know, like, everything about the guest judge. And you're just not going to hear me shut up. But these first 5 episodes, don't know shit about them. Excuse my language. The first group to walk the stage is QDSM, which are just the initials of the first group. And you are kind of, at first, you can tell that Q's dancing is very boxy. And her outfit is just plain. And it's not normal for Q because she's been rocking the runway. So to have a plain outfit and then boxy dancing, it's interesting. It's interesting. Now, the next thing I was going to talk about was each girl's rhymes. But I had the hardest time finding each of their verses. And, like, I thought about, like, rewatching Sibling Rivalry and, like, writing down the verses. But without, like, seeing them written, it's just really hard. So I don't know what really to kind of, like, go into. That's kind of, like, my fault as, like, person who's reviewing the episode. I should review the verses of each queen. But I just couldn't find them anywhere. I could not find. I Googled for like 40 minutes trying to find these verses and could not find them. So I dropped the ball. Sorry. So the next group to grace the stage is Plasma's group. And their name is Lover Girl. And you see Amanda dancing. And Amanda is dancing amazingly. Very amazing. But her hair is, like, hiding her face at times. Like, you see the other girls kind of wear, like, a ponytail or, like, their hair is out of the way. You don't see that with Amanda. Her hair is just very, like, in her face, and it's just not a good choice in hair. And for someone who did Kinky Boots and talked about how great her dancing is, you think that she would. And again, this is kind of like Amanda showing that she needs growth. This is like you want your dancing to shine. You don't wear a hairstyle that, like, I don't know. So it was just all right. It was okay. The next thing that we have is the Thick and Stick, which is Geneva's group. And the one choreographed by Maya. Now, this is where the foreshadowing comes in. Because this is the best group This was amazing. They really like tied in the ASMR. It's also one of my favorite RuPaul songs. I love the song ASMR Lover. It's a great song. So I really like the rendition that they did, and it was so unexpected. They were all in sync, and with how badly they struggled in rehearsal, how everybody called them the quiet ones, and then foreshadowing, here we are. The show does the foreshadowing. Like, they did the best. So they did the best. Like, spoiler alert, they did the best. So then you hear the runways announced, which is Faster Pussycat, and all the girls have pussycat wigs. Which, if you're unfamiliar with a pussycat wig, it's a very, like, tiny wig. It's a pussycat wig. It's tiny. So we'll kind of critique the outfits and wigs in the next part. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening to the pod with your host, Andrew Peterson. Welcome back to the pod with your host, Andrew Peterson. We're going to be on part 4, discussing the runway of episode 5. So, first queen to grace the stage is Morphine Love Dion. And she graces the stage with this beautiful blood red wig. And she's got, like, scratch marks on her butt. And her hips are, like, really wide in the silhouette. And although I like that Morphine is, like, testing the waters and trying different sort of silhouettes, I don't understand why her hips are this wide. And you'll hear the judges kind of critiques about maybe why her hips are this wide. But this outfit is really good. It's very decent. I love, like, the scratches. And I love the detail. I love the blood red wig. Because, you know, Andrew, personally, my two favorite colors are red and blue. It always switches because I'm very indecisive. So this blood red, I really love. Just letting you know. Love the red and blue. But anyway, I love this blood red. Just love it. The next queen to grace the stage is Q. And she dons this, like, white pussycat and, like, has this, like, night look. And this look is amazing. And it really helps her case, because we see that kind of, you heard me talk, that Q kind of struggled with the dancing. She looked kind of boxy. And then she just had an outfit that was kind of subpar. And then, so this kind of helps Q, in my opinion. The next thing is to grace the stage is Safira, and she wears an actual cat as, like, a wig, and, like, she takes it off and does, like, this, like, Dr. Evil reference of, like, a bald look, and, like, she has the cat, and she's just doing this Dr. Evil reference, and I love this. Love it. It's definitely a top, but there's one thing I want to point out is the cat's butt is, like, the front of the wig, and that's, like, on your face. So it's just very weird, and I get that you are, like, it's part of, like, the whole reveal of, like, her taking the wig off, doing a Dr. Evil moment, petting the cat. Like, you don't even notice this, but for me, I noticed it. The butt in the front was just not. But it's definitely a top wig. It's definitely a top look. So, kudos. The next queen to grace the stage is Dawn. And she, like, comes out in this very, like, blue makeup. And her wig at first does not look like a pussycat wig. But when you look at the back of it, it's like a bowl cut. And it is a pussycat. And she kind of explains when she's doing her runway that if you look at the wig head on, it's not pussycat. But if you look at the back, it is a bowl cut. That's pussycat. So this is kind of like a rendition. I mean, it's a safe look. But definitely from the front, you cannot tell this is a pussycat wig. The next one to grace the stage is Plasma. And I love, like, I love this look by Plasma. It was like, to just describe it, it was like gold headphones, these big wings, this white pussycat, and it was just white and gold and just so beautiful. And I know Plasma's supposed to be this period queen, and this is not like a period look, so this is a little bit out of her element, but my God, does it look amazing. So it was definitely one of the top for me. Next one to grace the stage is Miss Amanda Tory Meeting. And her kitty cat wig, she tries to explain the reference, and you do not understand the reference. It's like this, like, tree with, like, three eggs and, like, three pussycat wigs. And she's got, like, a blue beard, and it's just, it's all over the place. And this is one of the worst outfits I've ever seen. But granted, if you ever, like, see an Amanda Tory, like, meeting show, I want this outfit to be the first outfit she walks in. Like, this is now a staple for Amanda Tory meeting. This egg contraption, like, pussycat, blue, bearded, like, this is what I want to be a staple. Like, this part of me wishes that when she was in Kansas City, I went and saw her, because I want to see this outfit. I just want to see it. And if she, like, revamps it and makes it, like, 100 times better, like, I want to see it. But this was just terrible. Oh, my God. It was, and I don't even understand what she's trying to do. Like, this is a pussycat wig, and you've got, like, a tree and eggs. Like, I don't understand the reference. Don't understand it. So, the next one to grace the stage is Miss Tsunami Muse. And she does, like, a matador. And this is one of Tsunami Muse's best looks, in my opinion. And she's, like, when she, like, walks the stage, she's, like, she says she's flirting with the judges. And she is doing amazing walking the stage. She was, like, one of the top for me. Like, I think I ranked, like, four tops and a lot of safe. Like, my two bottom were definitely Q and Amanda. But this is one of the top for me. I loved Tsunami's look. I loved the short hair. I usually do not like short hair. I'm not a big fan of pussycat wig. Like, I'm more of, like, I love, like, long hair. But I really liked this. I really thought that Tsunami kind of killed it, and it was amazing. The next queen to grace the stage is Miss Plain Jane. And you have this blonde wig, and she, like, wears this mask, and she's, like, doing this kind of, like, BDSM kind of fetish. And I will admit that maybe my porn life is very, like, straight and narrow. It does not include BDSM. So I did not understand this reference. I did not understand the mask and all that. But Plain Jane did look amazing, as Plain Jane does. So definitely a top for me. Definitely. So kudos to you, Miss Plain. Miss Plain with your nasty. So, next queen is Miss Geneva Carr. And she wears kind of like a 20s flapper wig, is how she describes it. And it's very safe, in my opinion. It's just, okay, we're going to grace the stage with this. Just safe. Then you have Miss Maya, who wears this, like, Iman LePage, who wears this, like, tiny black wig. I don't understand. She said that she, like, made her shoulders pointy, and I just really didn't understand it. And, like, she explained why she did this, and, like, the judges made jokes around it and, like, tried to say it was good. But I just did not understand it. Maybe I'm just not with the times. Maybe I'm just, like, not someone who should be judging this, but I just did not understand the shoulders. But It was a safe look. Safe. Sorry, thirsty. Fireball. Love it. Okay, moving on. The next one to grace the stage is Megami. And she does this, like, pink wig, and she's very, like, punk rock, shows off her tattoos. I liked this, but I also didn't like how she looked like she got in a fight. The wig was on backwards, and she had, like, a little, like, kind of, like, bloody kind of lip and all that. And, like, this was supposed to show that she was punk rock and all that. I was just kind of okay for it. I wasn't living for it. But I do love, for someone who loves tattoos and always wanted a tattoo, it's kind of cool to see just, like, tattoos. So, it was decent. The next and final one to grace the stage, and this is one of the top for me, was Nymphia. She came in this, like, and she did two reveals. She had this, like, very long hair, and then she revealed to the Pussycat, and then her final reveal was, like, the definition of pussy. It was, like, a vagina and, like, a vulva. It was interesting, but she looked so amazing in this, like, red dress. It was so beautiful. I loved everything about this look from Nymphia, and it was definitely one of the tops. So after the girls kind of walk the stage, we will kind of get into the next part. So stay tuned, and thank you for listening to The Pod with your host, Andrew Peterson. Thank you for staying tuned. Thank you for coming back to The Pod with your host, Andrew Peterson. So we left off and kind of talking about all the girls' runways. And you have the girls now line up. And Rue announces the winner, which is Thick and Stick. And it's the ASMR lover girl group. While I agree with the winner, definitely agree this was the best group, I wish that Rue judged them individually, because a lot of the girls that were in this group had safe looks, and for them to get a win with a safe look, in my opinion, is just like, the only girl who had an amazing look in this group was Nymphia Nguyen. Like, her look was amazing. So, And I admit that it's a group challenge, maybe, and you're judging them off a group. But then Rue gets into announcing that each girl is up for elimination that was not part of the winning group. So if you're going to put all these other girls up for elimination, but then you're just going to give a group win, I wasn't that here for it. But I will say, their group did the best. They had the best song, because I love ASMR Lover. But It's hit or miss for me. It really is. So, after Rue announces that all the remaining girls are up for elimination, she then asks the dreaded question. Who do you think should go home and why? And I love this. But before we get into that, they then judge all the girls' looks. And the first girl up is Safira. And she is the one who shined on the group. They loved her look, and she was definitely one of the top. They judged Morphine, and they talked about how great her look was. But one thing I loved that they said was finally that she's more than a BBL. She is more than a big booty girl. Like, she has more value. And I think that Morphine needed to hear this. Because, like I said, for someone who's like a butt guy and loves butts, I was almost tired of seeing Morphine's butt. And then they jumped into Q, who they critiqued her runway. I mean, not her runway. Her outfit in the dance challenge. They critiqued her dancing. But then they asked who designed this outfit on her runway because it looks like $1 million. And Q says, I designed it. And it was a great outfit. This, in my opinion, really saved Q. And we'll get into how much I agreed that this outfit on the runway saved Q. So, kudos. And I know I'm a spoiler ruiner, but we'll go on to it. Then they talked about Dawn, who they loved her versatility, but they said that they would want to see even more versatility. Like, she's come out with her looks have been, like, black and white, and her face has been all these different colors. So they want to see her natural makeup. And I really kind of agree with this. I mean, this was kind of blue makeup that she did with this outfit. She did, like, again, she did a black and white. So I really agree with this kind of criticism that they give her. The next girl they criticize is Plasma. And they really didn't have much bad to say about Plasma. I mean, her dancing was good. Her outfit was amazing. It was really just kind of, okay. Sorry, I'm a thirsty queen. But then the next one is Tsunami, which they really talk up Tsunami. And like I said, Tsunami is one of the top for me. I love this look for her. I loved everything about what she did. She did really good in her group. So I agreed with this. And then the final one was Miss Plain Jane. And they talked about her body, yada, 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 how confident she looked, and just, they liked her lyrics. One of the lyrics was, now I'm having a hard time remembering it, but it was something, don't break this, break my back. It was a very creative lyric, very creative line. I'm going to remember it, just right now I'm going to forget it. So then, like I said, we got into it of, like, I may have, like, foreshadowed into it or mentioned it too early. Rue asked, who should go home? And why? And this is, like, the question you wait for in every RuPaul season. Like, this is the one. This is the one. I want to know your opinions. So, you have Safira, who goes first. And she mentions Amanda. And she says, Amanda's really shown growth, but this is not a time to grow. You come to RuPaul polished. Then you have Morphine, who says Amanda. Q, for some odd reason, says two names. And we'll get into it in Untucked, too, because she kind of mentions that she got away with saying two names. And she said Tsunami, which was so weird and so out of pocket. Because in my opinion, Tsunami did one of the best in this episode. Her outfit was amazing. Like, it was out of pocket. It was completely out of pocket. And then she says Amanda. Again, the Tsunami was so out of pocket. Then you have, and the reason why she said Tsunami was she said she feels like she hasn't, like, brought up the stage. Which, I mean, I guess you could say that, but this is one of Tsunami's best looks. I don't know. It was so out of pocket. The next girl to, and this is a really weird one. Dawn says Q because Q is her biggest competition. And although I agree Q's runways have been amazing, I don't know. I guess maybe she didn't want to say her best friend Amanda because Dawn and Amanda are great friends. So are Dawn and Q, though. Plasma says Q. Amanda shockingly says Q, too. I thought Amanda would be this, like, she would say Plain Jane. But, I mean, when Plain Jane had amazing critiques, I guess you can't really just say Plain. And then you have Tsunami who says Q. This is kind of like a backstab. Because, like, Q said Tsunami, so Tsunami's like, I'm going to say Q for you saying me, girl. I bet if Q did not say Tsunami, I would have. I would have bet Tsunami would have said Amanda. I really would have bet it. The next one on there is Miss Plain Jane says Amanda. So if you count the votes, You have 4 for Amanda and 4 for Q, which is like a tie. And I agree with this tie 100%. Like, Q's dancing was not good. Q's outfit when the dancing challenge was just very simple, which is not Q. She's not simple. So I agree with the bottom two. And it's heartbreaking because I just watched one of my favorite girls, Mirage, go home. And now it looks like one of my favorite girls, Q, is in the bottom. And this was not Q's episode. Like, Q complained about being in the top. She went at Tsunami. I mean, this was just like an episode that I did not expect from Q. So it was kind of hard to watch. And it's like 2 episodes back to back that have me on the floor, like, emotional. One was like emotional because Mirage was crying and I didn't want to see Mirage go. And then this one has me in a different turn because I really liked Q being the hometown queen, but I didn't like some things she did on this episode. So it had my, like, opinions of her really change. And I just, it was 2 back-to-back episodes that are really hard. So thank you for staying tuned to the pod. We will step into the final part, which is we will hear who the bottom 2 are, the lip sync, and we may get to Untuck. So stay tuned to the pod. Thank you and welcome back to the pod with your host, Andrew Peterson. We'll kind of get into the final part of episode 5. And our bottom 2, which, I mean, if you watch the episode, it's like almost not expecting. You like almost expected it. I guess I like use the wrong word almost. But, like, it's very expected. You have bottom 2 of Q and Amanda. And, like, I almost think Q saved herself with her look on the runway. And they lip sync to Emergency by Akana Pop. And this lip sync, in my opinion, is very evenly matched. I almost thought that Amanda won it. Like, because Amanda did a death drop that was very well timed. Amanda was dancing very well. And I think when you watch RuPaul, like, the lip sync is, yes, like, you're lip syncing for your life. It's a chance to save yourself. But I also, like, you do take the runway into effect. And, like, Amanda had the worst runway, and Queen and Q had one of the top runways. So this lip sync, even though it's very even match, at times I thought Amanda won the lip sync maybe. I feel like you also have to bring the one way into effect. And when I was listening to Sibling Rivalry, they said that, like, you cannot bring up body of work. It's too early. This is only the 5th episode. And Q's been in the top. You can't bring up that body of work. And I agree with that. You can't bring up the body of work. Amanda's been struggling. She's been near the bottom or just safe. And Q's been at the top. This is the only time. You can't bring up body of work with 5 episodes. But I think you can take the runway into effect. And Q's runway was 10 times better on this episode than Amanda's runway. They even, when they, and I forgot to mention this, when they asked Amanda about her reference to her runway, she couldn't even explain her runway. Like, it was just all over the place. So even if you outshine this girl by, like, let's say this lip sync, a rank out of 10, I would say Q was like a 7 and Amanda was a 9. Even if you have a 9 out of 10 lip sync, Q's runway was a 9 out of 10 and your runway was a 2 out of 10. Like, you got to factor that into this, like, equation. And, like, if you were doing it by, like, total scores, 9 plus 2 is 11. And Q's runway was a 10 out of 10 and her lip syncing was a 7. That's 17. Right now the score is 17 to 11. I mean, I agree that Q is the saved queen. And Amanda goes home. And this, I have all these mixed emotions about Amanda. I love her name. I think she's very funny. I think she's very good at comebacks. It's going to be hard not seeing her kind of fight off Plain Jane and things like that. But at the end of the day, I mean, she was the weaker queen. And it was almost her time. And I would definitely want to see, like, in a mandatory show. And I kind of hate that she's already been to Kansas City. And I kind of missed it. But I will say the reason why I didn't go to the show was I did not like her, like, poster outfit. I just didn't understand it. And maybe it's because, like, this queen is still showing that she's a growing queen. And maybe this poster outfit was taken, like, way before. But it really showed a growing queen, in my opinion. So it was sad to see Amanda go, but we're here for it. Now we move into Untucked. And mostly Untucked is just kind of like a recap of what happened. You have the girls who won the challenge who get to split $5,000. And then you have the remaining girls kind of come in and explain that the question was asked and who they nominated. And again, you have Plain Jane and Amanda kind of going back at each other. And you also have Q and Tsunami kind of going into each other. Because, like, Q mentions that she mentioned two names. And Tsunami goes, "This is your opinion." And I agree with Tsunami. Like, this is Q's opinion. Why did you... I don't understand why she even named Tsunami. Like, I really think it hurt her. Because if Q just said Amanda, if she just goes, "Amanda had the worst critiques, Amanda," I wouldn't have doubted in my mind that Tsunami would have said Amanda. No doubt in my mind. But because you bring Tsunami's name and throw her almost under the bus for no reason, like, girl, you're just asking for it. And then she tries to, like, backpedal and apologize. And, girl, you're asking for it. Because Tsunami's look was great. And I just didn't see it. I just didn't see what you're seeing. I mean, I guess you could say that Tsunami's kind of, like, skated by and kind of safe. But, I mean, if you just want to call a girl safe, like, that's kind of, this is not a good choice to call a girl safe when you had a bad night, Q. Like, just call a girl safe. And maybe she's, like, trying to deflect by, like, throwing a third girl in there so that she'll be safe. And then, like, maybe it's Tsunami and Amanda would lip sync. But, I mean, that wasn't the case. Like, I guess if you, like, I guess if, like, I guess if you look at it this way, like, Q knew that she was getting the bottom. So, like, if she deflected and named, like, a third girl for the judges to consider, maybe, like, Q is safe and she's not in the bottom. Maybe that's, like, Q's logic, but I don't think she's that smart. And maybe she is that smart. Maybe she is that smart. But I just don't see it. I really don't. And just for her to throw a Tsunami under the bus, I think she made an enemy out of Tsunami. And which is not, in my opinion, smart to make an enemy out of Tsunami. Because Tsunami is Candy Muse's daughter. Like, Tsunami is a strong queen. And I also love Tsunami's voice. So, like, you just can't make an enemy out of this girl. I don't think it's the right thing to do. And it's the wrong one to put an enemy out of her. So, I don't know. This was a very just kind of like, okay, Untucked, and just kind of like what you expected. The girls would just explain kind of who they nominated and all those things. Just overall, great episode of Drag Race, and I loved the foreshadowing of everything, like the girls talking bad about the quiet group, and the quiet group wins. The girls HQ crying that she's in the top, and then bam, she's in the bottom. She gets a taste of her own medicine. So this was a great episode, great foreshadowing, and I hope that you stay tuned and listen to episode 6 with Andrew as your host, and thank you for listening to the pod. Toodaloo. Goodbye.